Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Ah, great. I see producer Caden just put a great guest on the calendar here for 7:20 this morning. Thanks to our friends at the RNC. So we've got a great Republican strategist. We're going to be talking about this terrorist attack in Boulder, Colorado, the deportation efforts under President Trump, and the efforts by Democrats to try to block those deportation efforts. So that's going to be a great guest coming up here in just a few minutes. But really, other than that, we've got the Commissioner of Political Practices joining us in the 9 o'clock hour for part of that hour, talking about foreign influence in our elections and a new bill to try to rein that in. Other than that, we've got the phone lines open for you. If you want to jump in on the conversation here, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app. In fact, Tim in Savage has this to say. So we just played a great soundbite of Senator Tim Sheehy on Fox News yesterday talking about the One Big Beautiful Bill and why he believes they will get the job finished by the July 4th deadline. After hearing that conversation, Tim in Savage says, Montana to the rest of the country. Our freshman senator is better than yours. Sheehy is just doing a great job back there in Washington. I think we can all agree on that front. Let's see. Buck in Bozeman. What does he have to say here? He's talking about Missoula and Missoula now flying the rainbow flag as their official city flag now to try to get around a state law to stop these political flags from flying over government buildings. Basically, he's talking about how basically Missoula is shoving their political beliefs. I would even argue this is like a religion for the left in Missoula. Their religion is to poke other religions in the eye. And they've bowed down to the woke gods with this whole rainbow flag becoming their official city flag now. This is their religion. This is their politics, and they want to shove it down everybody's throats. And that's, I think, the point that Buck and Bozeman is making here. He's basically saying that the loudest cries for intolerance seem to be the most intolerant. I think that's a good point that Buck is making here, is that what the city of Missoula is saying here is we don't tolerate anybody who strays from our LGBTQ dogma. And that's why they want to shove their politics down the throat of all of their residents. Jesse Ramos, great guy. He's the head of AFP Montana. He's a former Missoula City Council member. He shared an NBC Montana story. Missoula approves Pride flag as official city flag in opposition of new law. Meanwhile, in Missoula, bold leadership on full display. Not just for taxpayers, prospective home buyers, crime victims, public school kids, or anyone trying to drive without blowing a tire in a massive pothole yet. Of course, this is what the city of Missoula is pushing right now. Yeah, it's to me, that flag now is the symbol of transients defecating in water fountains. It's the symbol of human feces and drug needles on the banks of the Clark Fork.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some sunshine across the area today, a few isolated afternoon showers or thunder showers are possible. High temperature readings will range from 63 in Bozeman to around 70 in Billings. For tonight, isolated shower chance early, otherwise clear to partly cloudy. Upper 30s in Bozeman to the upper 40s in Billings. Then we'll see some sun Thursday with highs from the lower to middle 70s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Elon Musk is now officially off the reservation, and it's the big story everywhere, despite a fairly tepid but friendly farewell when his time as a special government employee expired with President Trump in the Oval Office. He is now just lashing out with a series of posts on X about the big, beautiful bill that he finds kind of ugly. He said it was a disgusting abomination. Telling House members who voted for it, you know you did wrong. He sided with Senator Rand Paul, Senator Mike Lee, who also think this adds to the deficit and the debt. I'm sorry, but I just can't stand it anymore, Musk wrote. He called it a massive, outrageous, pork-filled measure that would massively increase the already gigantic budget deficit, and the Congress is making America bankrupt. Maybe this is the divorce that's long been predicted by the press, or maybe he just feels free to speak his mind. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, there's really nothing Irish, Catholic, Union, Butte, Democrat about the pride flag either. But see, that's how radical the Democrat Party is now, that if you are an official in Butte, Silver Bow County, you got to pretend you're crazy like Missoula, too. Because you have to follow the Democrat Party dogma. There's so much to talk about here this morning. So this is interesting. Let me just start with this one before we go back to this whole, you know, rainbow flag nonsense. FBI documents reveal Catholic targeting was much bigger than former FBI Director Chris Wray admitted. Newly released documents show a 2023 domain perspective memo was shared with over 1,000 FBI staff and coordinated across multiple field offices. Senator Chuck Grassley out of Iowa has revealed now 13 more documents at least and five attachments where they basically use the radical traditionalist Catholic term sourced from the left-wing hate group. That's what the Southern Poverty Law Center is, essentially a left-wing hate group. They hate people of faith. And then there's another. Anyway, so I point out that story to say that the Joe Biden administration, I thought he was Catholic, was targeting Catholics. While they allowed this country to be invaded by communist Chinese operatives, terrorists, and radical Islamic terrorists, to be more precise, like the guy who just lit a Holocaust survivor on fire in Boulder, Colorado earlier this week. But yet they targeted Catholics, and they wanted to spy on Catholics. And I say that to say, okay, here we are talking about Missoula making the pride flag, the rainbow flag, their official city flag in opposition to a new state law. But look, Butte Silver Bow, I saw this headline from the Montana Television Network, Butte Silver Bow holds annual pride proclamation. And this is what happens where there is nothing in Butte's culture that is being supported or represented. It was not to mention their economy alone. I mean, this freaking Held Montana craziness, this new federal lawsuit in federal court to go after the America First Energy. What would happen to the mine in Butte if we lose energy? What would happen? Butte is looking to get a potentially $4 billion data center. That needs energy. And yet the Democrats are attacking energy. Ryan Bussey, the former Democrat candidate for governor, he's bragging about how his kids are a part of not only the Held v. Montana circus, but also a part of this new federal court case. And so it used to be that, you know, you were a JFK, Catholic, Kennedy, Democrat, Union town of Butte. But the Democrat dogma is now antithetical to all of that. But that new left Democrat dogma is what is taking over Butte right now. Forget the union jobs. Forget the working men and women. Forget the people of faith, Catholics especially, that were spied upon by the last regime and administration. Nope, nope, nope. Just fly that rainbow flag. That's the message coming out of Butte Silver Bow. All right, what did Governor Greg Gianforte have to say about all this? I think the Lee Newspapers has the report here. Governor Greg Gianforte publicly criticizing Missoula officials for their decision to designate the Pride flag as an official city banner. Let's see, I think I've got the actual tweet in front of me here. Where did I put it? Because the news report is just kind of ho-hum. I know I had the actual... the actual tweet in front of me here. And then, of course, I get to talking about all these other things here. Rusty Shackelford on X says it might as well be the hammer and the sickle. What a clown show in Missoula. Okay, here we go. Yeah, Josh Margolis with NBC Montana shared the statement from Governor Greg Gianforte on Missoula making the Pride flag their official flag. Margolis notes it's a maneuver in defiance of a new state law banning non-official flags from flying on government and public school property. The governor wrote this: last night, 9 members of the Missoula City Council made clear their top priority is flying a divisive pride flag over government buildings and schools, all while ignoring the city's housing affordability crisis, raising taxes by 17% because of overspending, and refusing to take firm action to end encampments in the city. Missoulians deserve better. Unfortunately, 2 council members voted against imposing this divisive far-left agenda on their community. I mean, the governor nails it right there. The city of Missoula is ignoring their housing affordability crisis. The city of Missoula has raised taxes by 17%. Now, if you add in the Democrats controlling the county government in Missoula and the taxes they raise there, of course, it's even higher. And it's because they keep spending and spending and spending. And then they've got these transient homeless encampments that have controlled so much of the city. That's what I was referencing. Remember one of the last times we caught up with Missoula City Council member Sandy Vasica? She's a young mom. She's got a young kid. Try to take her young kid to the park. There are transients that are openly, pardon my language here, but you need to hear it so that you get the full effect of what's going on in Missoula. Transients are openly masturbating in front of kids. They are defecating in water fountains at the city park. But fly your proud flag there. Fly your flag of pride, Missoula. While transients defecate in your water fountains and leave drug needles on the banks of the river.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The essence of economic thinking is that incentives matter. Behavior that is rewarded tends to happen, and that which is penalized doesn't, and policy should recognize that. But what to do when incentives pull us in different directions? Consider patents and patent law. Patents create monopolies. If I patent something, you can't use it without paying me. Monopolies are bad. They push prices up and impose limits on production. But if we don't let inventors get a return on their innovation, they'll produce less of it, and we all suffer from that loss. And so we limit the duration of patents, typically to 20 years. Most of us encounter that limit when we purchase drugs, with the appearance of generic substitutes usually bringing prices down. But we have policy incentives to thank for that as well, since the process of copying a drug takes time and resources. That's why the laws grant the first generic drug maker to develop a successful copy, 180-day mini-monopoly over that product. I'm Patrick Barkley.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. We know it's important to lather on sunscreen before heading outside, but some are suggesting nutrition can play a role in skin protection. Antioxidant-rich foods such as berries, leafy greens, dark chocolates, or dietary supplements containing vitamin E or C can help with skin health, but it's not the main way to avoid harmful UV rays. And while edible sunscreen in the form of a pill or gummy sounds like a simple substitute, there's no scientific evidence you'll get real UV protection relying solely on diet or supplements.
They help supplement your topical sunscreens, but they're never going to be a replacement for them. So you also want to make sure that if you're using them, you want to use them in conjunction with or in addition to your regular sunscreen.
Dr. Susan Masick with Ohio State University's Wexner Medical Center says edible travel supplements are safe for most people and don't need to be taken daily, but only sunscreen is proven to decrease the risk of skin cancer. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House call for health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
I'm Ed.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
If Congress doesn't extend current tax provisions, America's farmers and ranchers may be forced to pay up to $9 billion more in federal taxes every year. That's according to the American Farm Bureau Federation. They say tax relief enacted by the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is set to expire at the end of this year, which would lead to tax increases for almost two-thirds of families, including those in rural America. Farm Bureau notes that each dollar that comes out of a farm family's bank account to pay taxes is one less they can spend on improving their operations, one less to hire another worker, and one less they can put toward growing food, fiber, and fuel. The average American farm or ranch would pay an additional $5,125 per year in taxes, according to projections. Purdue University researchers have developed a low-cost paper-based test to quickly detect avian influenza in the field. Using oral and nasal swabs, the test works across multiple species, including poultry, livestock, wildlife, and humans, making it ideal for areas lacking lab access. Researchers note the role of avian influenza is contributing to higher costs of eggs due to the falling levels of supplies in the country. Other factors add to the costs, including rigorous and expensive protection measures for enhanced sanitation on farms. Those are your Ag Headlines. I'm Wayne Northland.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, really funny that we got this message in just now on the Montana Talks app. I think we were talking about Missoula and even Butte, unfortunately, with the rainbow flags. Paul in Bozeman sent us this message just a few minutes ago. He says, as Charlie Kirk said, the American left is full of rage, but no wisdom. I literally just picked this story up off the printer. The Daily Wire had this report here. Divisive far-left agenda. City in deep red state adopts pride flag as official city banner. But the other story that I printed up here was about how... Where did I put it here? It was a story, I think a Daily Wire story, about... Oh, yeah, here we go. No, this is a Federalist story. Democrats are the party of mentally unstable nut jobs. Now, that sounds like Sean Fleetwood is just trying to be mean here. He's not being mean. There is a new study that came out. It's a recently released study conducted by researchers from Tufts and Yale universities. The study, published April 30th, found that conservatives self-reported having higher rates of positive mental health than their liberal counterparts. Charlie Kirk said this, 51% of conservatives have excellent mental health versus only 20% of liberals. And then he added this.
With conservative political views, 51 to 45% when it comes to excellent versus poor. Yeah. And I don't think the Democrats would have expected that.
I don't know, man. I didn't need a poll to know they were unwell. Just drive around and see someone wearing a mask in their car. And you know who they're voting for, and you know they're not okay.
Oh, that was Jimmy Fallon, actually. Charlie Kirk shared it, but Jimmy Fallon, the stand-up comedian, made a great point there. I didn't need a poll or a survey to tell me that the Democrats are suffering with some mental health challenges. All right. We got a great Republican strategist, also the vice president of communications at COIN, Cassie Smedley, now with us once again here on Montana Talks. Cassie, great to have you on the show.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
Yeah. One big update that we got to get to is on this radical Islamic terror attack down in Boulder, Colorado. Last I heard, I don't know if we have an update, but last I heard, basically, Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem said, okay, not only has he been arrested and he's going to be held accountable, but we're deporting the rest of the criminal illegal alien family as well.
That's right. I heard that they've taken his wife, and I believe he has five children, but sounds like all of his children are in custody. And that was one of my first questions when you heard that it was an illegal alien who committed this crime. He, of course, overstayed his visa, and that's questions for the Biden administration of how that was possible in the first place. But then to find out that he had a whole family here, what's their backstory? How were they in the country? Were they also here on a tourist visa that they overstayed? We need to get to those questions as that gets to how we fix our immigration system, which as much as we talk about rounding up the criminal illegal aliens, certainly the violent criminals, but everybody who has crossed here illegally and is taking advantage of our country and of our taxpayer-funded programs, we have to get to the part B of how do you prevent it from happening again? President Trump, of course, has closed the border, and thanks to Homeland Security and ICE, we are getting so many of them out of our country who President Biden let in. But how do we prevent it in the future from happening again is the next big question, and I fear the tougher question to answer.
You, I don't know if you heard that Jimmy Fallon soundbite that I played about this study that shows, you know, that our liberal friends really suffer with some mental health challenges at higher rates than normal. And look, I get it. Mental health is a serious thing, and people can struggle with it regardless of political affiliation or whatever. It's just but like Jimmy Fallon pointed out, do we really need a study that proves that liberals and Democrats have a lot higher rates of mental health challenges? I mean, look at what's going on in California with girls being forced to share the podium with boys running as girls, trying to steal medals from girls. And the Democrats embrace that. The Democrats are trying to prevent the deportation of these criminal illegal aliens.
Yeah, it's a real head-scratcher that Democrats can't figure out why they keep losing elections, and yet they continue to be the champions of the 20%, the vocal minority, on these issues that 80% of the country is united on one side. We say that's not fair to have biological boys playing in girls' sports. That's not fair. And by the way, that's not an issue that is traditionally Republican or Democrat. That is one of the reasons that Donald Trump and Republicans were able to bring over so many to our voter rolls last November who wouldn't consider themselves traditional Republicans, because they just said the left has just gone crazy. There's nothing here for me to support or to align myself with, so I've got to go over here to the right. And it is just wild. Or having a margarita with a criminal illegal alien who's got MS-13 gang ties and defending that. And then, of course, you got the ladies of The View. If you turn that on just to give yourself, I guess if you're a masochist, you turn that on every day just to see what they're talking about. And then you quickly turn it off. But, you know, I think about in my own life, I have two young children. And it's amazing to me that we're out running around, going to activities, whether it's dance class or soccer, you know. And you talk to the other parents who are doing the same thing, trying to raise their kids. You're talking about where's the best swim lesson or all the normal things. And then there's always that one parent who's standing to the side with a mask, who's got, you know everything about them just by how they engage. And you feel bad for their kid, frankly. But it is amazing to me how they just can't get beyond politics in their life. And it's sad.
Yeah, they've literally just been driven crazy by it. Yeah, it's funny. I was laughing when you were talking about there's that one parent off to the side still wearing a mask because they just you just have to know where they stand on everything, because that mask is a symbol of where they stood on COVID-19. That mask is a symbol of their hatred for Trump. That mask is a symbol of CRT. It's like, okay, would you just relax? We're trying to watch a football game here. Actually, they wouldn't even be at the football game, probably.
No. But conversely, and what's really sad is as soon as they find out that my husband or I are Republicans, and God forbid find out that we work in Republican politics, that's the end of that relationship. It doesn't matter if our kids were just having a great time playing on the soccer field. They're not interested in carrying on any sort of relationship with us. And that's really sad, because what is that teaching to your child? But that's a one-way street. You don't get that from those on the Republican side or even just people who consider themselves independent or in the middle. And that's something that the Democrats have to figure out, too, is that there's just so much vitriol and hatred and negativity, and people aren't attracted to that.
That's right. No, I've seen that, too, where it's like some of these people, it doesn't matter how nice you are to them. And legitimately, you know, not even just fake night, just legitimately just being nice to people because we can disagree on things. It doesn't matter. They will despise you. They are looking for a way to be offended. They're looking for a reason to not like you. And it's really sad. And then you wonder why they struggle with their mental health. Well, when you walk around angry and full of hate all the time, it's not good for your mental health. Talk about one big, beautiful bill. I think we got you here for a couple more minutes. Look, I all of us want to see more spending reductions, and that will be coming. There's rescission packages moving forward. Speaker Johnson has a couple more bills in the works now, and then you got the appropriations process. But we can't let perfection be the enemy of progress here, especially given all the beautiful things in this one big, beautiful bill.
Amen. You know, I worked on Capitol Hill for 10 years before I went on RNC and Life Beyond It. And you get really frustrated. You see these bills. We're all familiar with the omnibus bills, the Christmas tree bills at the end of the year, where everybody would just throw this stuff in and you'd pass it in the middle of the night. You had no idea what was in it. And a big reason why that happened is because Congress didn't get through the appropriations process through the year. It's been over a decade since they have done that. And that's where you hear Speaker Johnson saying, that's what we are committed to doing. We are going to get through the regular appropriations process. That's where you really grind through these programs, cut where cuts can be made, and make sure that things are working as they should be and aren't bloated and certainly not wrought with fraud. That's what we need to be pushing Congress to do. This bill is not the moment for that. This bill is separate from that. Yes, I'm right there with you. We wish that it could go further, but it's also not able to deal with mandatory spending. If it dealt with mandatory spending, that would trigger a 60-vote threshold in the Senate. And you and I both know that's not going to happen in today's circumstances. No Democrat is going to come over. We're trying to keep all the Republicans together.
Yeah.
So get what you can and then use the other pieces of the process to do the rest of the work. And I think that's what President Trump is trying to say, too. And with respect to Elon Musk, you know, Doge has become a household name. We all know what Doge is. That's a good thing. And
yeah.
I think the individual cabinets are going to continue the work of Doge. But I think Elon Musk is learning the hard lesson that it is easier said than done to cut spending in Washington. One thing legislators are really good at doing, unfortunately, is making it really difficult to roll back.
Great point.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, yeah, I'm glad I just remembered. I got to play a little bit of our conversation with Representative Braxton Mitchell out of Columbia Falls. This was, maybe a couple weeks ago. Thankfully, it was more recent than I had recalled. But the reason why, about 2 weeks ago, the reason why I want to replay a couple parts of this is, one, it's very timely given the crazy story out of Missoula. No big surprise, though, frankly. It's the city of Missoula, after all. But given that story about the city of Missoula now making the rainbow flag their official city flag, what a bunch of left-wing nut jobs. I mean, they're just taxing the hell out of all of their you know, voters, all their constituents. It's just taking their money left and right. But, some of these liberals, fly the rainbow flag. Okay, take more of my money. They don't care how much money they are losing to the city of Missoula. Well, they're flying our flag. Anyway, we talked with Braxton Mitchell about that. But also, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, I've got Commissioner of Political Practices, Chris Gallis, joining us on this show. And we're talking about banning foreign money in Montana elections. Isn't that just crazy? Foreigners can't contribute to congressional elections, presidential elections, things like that. But yet somehow they're able to contribute to ballot initiative campaigns here in Montana. And look at what has happened in Montana as a result of ballot initiative campaigns. Some of the craziest far left stuff, basically no limits on abortion, recreational marijuana, regardless of where you think on that one. Look at all of the out of state money that came in on that one. But one of the guys who is giving money to ballot initiatives is a Swiss far-left activist named Hans-Jörg Wies. That guy is one of the biggest dirtbags in politics. And again, not trying to be mean, but that's straight up what that guy is. Read up on his background. He is one of the people that has funded the American Prairie Reserve, which is trying to take away our land from us here in Montana and give it over to far-left billionaires like Hans-Jörg Wies, essentially, and kick the ranchers off the land. We talked about red flag laws, too. I'm trying to find the part where we talked about, oh, yeah, here we go. Yeah, we talked about how the Daily Signal had had a headline about how, hey, there was legislation to ban foreign money in elections in Montana, but then a handful of Republicans worked with, voted with the Democrats to weaken that legislation and to water it down. But Braxton Mitchell did tell us at the time that there is some good news, that he does believe that the Commissioner of Political Practices has the authority to put this into effect. So that's why I'm very interested in hearing what the Commissioner of Political Practices has to say later today. First, though, Braxton Mitchell, we actually talked about his bill to stop the flying of these political flags like the rainbow flag over government buildings. These are government buildings. Just keep the U.S. flag, the state flag. Yeah, tell us about that legislation.
Yeah, so that's Hospital 819. So what it does, it just simply prohibits any government entity in the state, whether it be counties, cities, public schools, from displaying any flags or banners that promote any sort of political viewpoint. Whether it's tied to race, gender, sexual orientation. So, the Black Lives Matter flag, or as you mentioned, the Pride flag there. And it just simply ensures that government property remains neutral and focused on serving all citizens and not promoting any sort of ideological advocacy. And I don't really think it targets any specific group because it applies to all political flags that are being flown on government entities. I think that, again, these spaces should remain neutral and not push any sort of political agenda.
Yeah, so like, for example, if Missoula wants to fly their pride flag, it's like, come on, guys, no, not on the government buildings. Or likewise, if another town of Montana wanted to, over a city government building, wanted to fly a MAGA flag, that would also be prevented by something like this.
Correct, yeah, and I think the Democrats, they really were freaking out on the floor about it. They were saying that if we pass this, that this would, like, apply to free speech, and say some folks, were protesting over the Capitol, trying to fly their flag and holding a flag up or whatever, that it would bar them from doing that, but it doesn't do that. As you mentioned, if say you're in, Flathead County here, as the majority leader mentioned on the floor, trying to rebuke what the Democrats are saying, this simply says, yeah, if you're in Missoula County, you shouldn't be flying a pride flag or a Kamala Harris flag, and same thing in Florida County. We shouldn't be flying a Trump 2028 flag or a Let's Go Brandon flag here. So that's just simply what this bill does. The main thing is we've seen across the state and across the country a lot of these schools that are flying these politically charged flags. And so what this bill does is just simply says, hey, let's keep these spaces neutral and not force this down people's throats. And that's one thing I've heard a lot about from folks across the state. And so I'm glad the governor signed it into law.
All right. Yeah, that was from back on, I think, May 21st when we had that conversation. And here we are, June 4th. And look at the far left in Missoula already. Trying to get around state law so they can force their radical agenda down the throats of school kids and other folks, on government buildings. Let's see, before I get to the part about foreign influence in our state elections, let's go into the phone lines. We've got Chris in Billings on the line. Chris, what's on your mind this morning?
Hey, Aaron. If you think about it, it's only been, 5 months since President Trump took over? And nobody's pushed back on what's been going on all this time, and it's about time. And a lot of derangement syndrome showing its ugly head. Think about there was a meme on, if Trump endorses oxygen, then all the liberals would wear a plastic bag on their head.
Well, in a way, a lot of them are. They're still doing that. He's endorsed oxygen, so they're still wearing their stupid COVID masks, right? That didn't even block COVID-19.
Yeah, it's about time, and it's going to take a while. I always preach this, give it time. Try not to come to any kind of judgment, So,
well, and the more the Democrats try to push back, the crazier they look, because they're just adopting the most insane of positions. And like California was making it look like they were going to move away from the transgender deal. But then they have boys sharing the podiums at the track and field state championships with girls. And it's just like, give me a break. Hey, by the way, speaking of that topic, do you remember the Summer Olympics? Was that last year or was it the year before? Remember the boxer that was the champion boxer, the what I believe the gold medalist, and this boxer just beat the snot out of some of those ladies. Well, apparently the UK Telegraph has this: a medical report that has now been leaked proves that Imani Khalif is actually a biological male. That the boxer was actually a dude. They were claiming, no, you guys are just being mean. That's not a man. She's a she. And you know, the dude who just beat the snot out of that girl in the Olympics for boxing. No, it's well. Riley Gaines says to all the people that insisted Imani Khalif was a woman because his passport said so, you were wrong. We were right. Sincerely, people with functioning eyes and a shred of honesty. That was from Riley Gaines. All right. What about this bill to ban foreign funding of our ballot initiatives here in Montana? Here's Braxton Mitchell.
Yeah, no, you're spot on. And believe it or not, in the House, every single Democrat voted against this bill. I mean, it's just crazy to even imagine. I mean, and as you mentioned, you know, foreign nationals can't give to committees, they can't give to candidates, they can't, you know, spend, you know, on other stuff. But, you know, there was a loophole in the law for ballot initiatives. And again, $3.5 million from this specific donor you're mentioning alone, and who knows what else, you know, might have been funneled through other PACs and committees. But yeah, again, I'm glad the governor signed it. And I think the bill has some pretty good teeth on it. And hopefully we're able to prevent some of these dollars from being spent in the future here in the state.
Now, is that the bill? I saw a headline at the Daily Wire. Was it the Daily Wire or the Daily Signal? One of them had a headline that there was an effort like this, and the Democrats kind of, either that or a handful of Republicans, watered down the legislation. I'm assuming maybe that's the same bill, so hopefully this is able to get the job done, but if not, may need to be strengthened the next go-around?
Correct. So what happened is we had some really strong enforcement provisions. Unfortunately, the 9 in the Senate, with all the Democrats, worked to get those all stripped off. It came back over to the House, and it was kind of an interesting deal what happened. It was a concur motion to support the amendment. So I got up on the floor, and I told my colleagues, I'm going to vote no on this concur motion on what the Senate did. And fortunately, 54 of my colleagues on the Republican side followed me. So it ended up going to a conference committee. We got a lot more stuff added back into the bill. And the Commissioner of Political Practices is pretty sure that it'll still do what we want it to do. And if there's anything that we need to fix going into, you know, the 2026 session, we'll see, obviously, which 2026 session.
All right, well, hold it right there, but I want to hear more. Yeah, here you go. Handful of Republicans voted with the Democrats to water this down.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, more in the aftermath of that terrorist attack in Colorado, a firebombing that was definitely targeting Jewish Americans on behalf of the Palestinian cause. We'll look at what the Trump FBI is doing, and we'll also give you the latest on the immigration and border fight. How are those deportations coming along? Coming up on Clay and Buck.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible. Financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary, not available in all states or situations.
Fox News commentary.
Assaults on NYC cops have skyrocketed 63% over the last 6 years, and it's no wonder why. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next. According to New York Post reporting, assaults on New York City cops have surged 63% in just the last 6 years. NYPD data shows there have been 970 assaults on uniformed police officers in the city so far this year, up from the 595 officers attacked at the same point in pre-pandemic 2019. Is it really any wonder why? New York City, like many other blue felon-coddling cities, is so soft on crime, you have to almost beg to be put behind and then kept behind bars. They've got that joke of a DA, Alvin Bragg, who doesn't even want to prosecute felony assaults on cops. Arrests are made and the perp is right back out to reoffend. The city is also reeling from the BLM to fund the police era, and now they've added the Hamas-supporting thugs and migrant crime into the mix. It's such a proud achievement to be in the NYPD, but to those cops, I'd say, get to a red state. I'm Tommy Lahren.
If you own a boat in Montana, you have one less sticker to worry about. This is actually a very common sense move that was backed by FWP. Check it out, MontanaTalks.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some sunshine across the area today, a few isolated afternoon showers or thunder showers are possible. High temperature readings will range from 63 in Bozeman to around 70 in Billings. For tonight, isolated shower chance early, otherwise clear to partly cloudy. Upper 30s in Bozeman to the upper 40s in Billings. Then we'll see some sun Thursday with highs from the lower to middle 70s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Montanans might get mad if they see motorcycles doing this on the roadways. We've got that story at MontanaTalks.com. Plus, a new law addresses what's fair from the air when you're hunting in Montana. I think it's a drone story. And PETA responds following their staged events protesting a barbecue joint in Great Falls and then some downtown Billings restaurants as well. It's actually a pretty good response. You got
to
check it out.
Electric scooters and wheelchairs. Scoot on down to 2043 Grand Avenue or go to jurosmedical.com and get yours today.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, speaking of the Montana legislature, I know we're still waiting to hear back if Governor Gianforte is going to veto some of these spending bills. It's interesting because on one hand, the Montana Freedom Caucus has argued that if the governor signs these spending bills into law that came out of Montana's legislative session, that would increase the budget here in Montana by 18% over the next 2 years. Well, Lou Jones, Representative Lou Jones out of Conrad, who's one of the more moderate Republicans who crafted these budget bills, he says, he was posting on X yesterday, and he says the numbers are significantly different from what the Freedom Caucus is claiming. He says the Legislative Fiscal Division just released the complete biennial comparison required by law. And Lou Jones says, quote, "It appears the Freedom Caucus claims of massive growth were unfounded, as the biennial growth is now measured at 2.1%, a significant difference from the 17 to 18% and budget explosion they've been suggesting." So it'll be interesting to see if the Freedom Caucus folks respond to that. In kind of this latest back and forth. All right, back to it here with Braxton Mitchell, and I wanted to listen to this again just to make sure that I heard him right. Yeah, he believes that even though a handful of Republicans voted with the Democrats to water down a bill to prevent foreign influence in our Montana elections, that he does believe that the Commissioner of Political Practices believes that he's got the ability to still make it happen.
Again, the Commissioner of Political Practices was pretty sure that this does what it's intending to do.
Yeah, we sure hope it does. Wow, this is crazy. So you're telling me that when it came to... So this is a bill, thankfully it's now been signed into law, but this is a bill to block foreigners, whether it's the communist Chinese, whether it's George Soros, whether it's Hans-Jörg Wyss or any of these clowns, from interfering in our state elections. And look at everything that's been forced vis-a-vis the ballot initiative process. There was a bill to stop foreigners from interfering in Montana elections, and these nine Republicans in the state Senate voted to undermine that legislation. My goodness.
Yeah, I mean, again, whether it's, property tax or whether it's a lot of election stuff or... lots of the social issues. I mean, this entire session, when it came over to the Senate, I mean, the 9 and 18 Democrats are the ones that ran the entire legislative session. I mean, it's just crazy to even think. And, you know, you look at some of this common sense measures like this bill here is saying, hey, you can't have a foreign national to contribute to a statewide ballot initiative. The fact that they coordinate with the left to gut this, you know, common sense legislation just shows everything you need to know.
My goodness, yeah, because on a lot of issues, they voted conservative and in the right way, although it was still outrageous that they undermined their leadership. But this one, what in the world were they thinking?
All right, and then another quick one here is we're running short on time, was his bill to ban fake meat. That was another one that got signed into law. I think he had like 19 bills get signed into law by Governor Greg Gianforte, including the bill to ban the so-called fake meat, the lab-grown meat.
Yeah, so what this bill does is it just simply, you know, increases the transparency, because the vast majority of these people, and especially in these small rural communities, you get chatting with folks, no one knows who the heck any of these people are. They're all...
Actually, this clip is a different one. I apologize. Here I am trying to enjoy my Ideal Protein Ranch Dorado chips. This is the one where he has a bill cracking down on all those paid signature gatherers. That's what he's talking about here. Not the fake meat one. This is the one. Remember all those annoying, obnoxious signature gatherers to get some of this crazy stuff on the ballot?
Yeah, so what this bill does is it just simply, you know, increases the transparency, because the vast majority of these people, and especially in these small rural communities, you get chatting with folks, no one knows who the heck any of these people are. They're all out of state, they're being paid, and there's no disclosure for any of that. So what this bill simply does, Hospital 201, it just simply says if you are a paid signature gatherer in the state, you have to disclose, one, where you're from, if you're being paid, and what state you legally reside in, if you're being paid in your first name as well.
All right, so yeah, more to follow on the foreign influence question in the 9 o'clock hour.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The essence of economic thinking is that incentives matter. Behavior that is rewarded tends to happen, and that which is penalized doesn't, and policies should recognize that. But what to do when incentives pull us in different directions? Consider patents and patent law. Patents create monopolies. If I patent something, you can't use it without paying me. Monopolies are bad. They push prices up and impose limits on production. But if we don't let inventors get a return on their innovation, they'll produce less of it, and we all suffer from that loss. And so we limit the duration of patents, typically to 20 years. Most of us encounter that limit when we purchase drugs, with the appearance of generic substitutes usually bringing prices down. But we have policy incentives to thank for that as well, since the process of copying a drug takes time and resources. That's why the laws grant the first generic drug maker to develop a successful copy, 180-day mini-monopoly over that product. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.